What's going on, everybody? This is Mike Bennett and Mike Baker coming at you with the 12th episode of the Microsoft Recap. How's everybody doing out there, man? It's a lot going on in these streets nowadays. In case anyone doesn't know, or for everyone that watches this video at a later time, the coronavirus is at large in the world. it is affecting a lot of different things, man. Everything from just trade for, as far as goods and food, as well as the technology industry. So we got a lot of stuff we're going to be discussing with you guys today, man, about how things are affecting the technology industry. We've already done a couple of episodes on some other things. You can check those other episodes out. But Mike, how you doing over there, man?
Good, man. I'm good, man. I'm surviving. I'm staying alive like the Bee Gees. Okay. I'm just... Most of it is really not even trying to stay alive from the coronavirus. It's just trying to stay alive from all these people that's going crazy, man. I went to a grocery market on a Thursday, bro. It was the most packed. You thought you seen like a, it was like a live performance out there.
It's crazy, man. I told you a little bit earlier, man, about that video I seen online. Where it was an old lady that got ran over by a cart from somebody was trying to run. It was people trying to run and get like the this last box, you know. So they bring out like the box from the back that has all the other packages and stuff like the other you know how they do it. They was like rushing down this dude to like open up their box, and some dude was in a cart and like ran over this little older white lady, man. I'm just like, it's getting out of hand, bro. Like you know, it's toilet paper, you know what I mean? And yeah, it's getting real. But this is what's happening currently in the world, man.
Those are the people that aren't prepared, bro. Those are the people that aren't prepared at all. That's just like they the ones that's going into a frenzy. You just got
to stay
away from them. They the ones that you might have to murk off when it really turned into Walking Dead. They acting all crazy.
And put the shotgun out the door. That's what you want, man.
Right. You're like, there ain't no toilet paper over here.
Right. We don't have no bottles of Dasani, man. What you do? Gotta do something, man. You swallow your spit. But let's jump into this, man. So we got three things we want to talk to you all today about, man. It's actually all of them, in my opinion, are a lot more interesting than, of course, the things we may talk about over in Apple. You know, we try to show Apple love. But it just seems like Microsoft stays in the know when it got goes to talk about. So first things first, Bill Gates is leaving Microsoft board. Okay, is anybody that's to know? And we'll jump into it, of course, when we talk about it. But Bill Gates has been, of course, pivotal in all types of ways with Microsoft. He's co-founder for some time, was on the board. So and he's actually officially stepping down. Like, he's not going to have any involvement with the processes at the top. So that's number one. We're going to be covering that. Next up. After that, it says emergency Windows 10 critical security update. Microsoft urges users to take action immediately. So, and this is funny, Mike, because you know we was talking about it in one of the shows just did. I think it was where how you know certain companies that we love and adore, they don't necessarily push the update thing, right? Whereas the other ones we kind of
the weekly tech.
Yeah, they update. You know, without you saying yes or no, it just happens. So, and this is something, and this is one of those things where, you know, of course, when you don't make it mandatory, something just happens. But we're gonna dive into that. And lastly, says Microsoft to detail Xbox Series X was their next gen game system in the X Cloud in a new live stream coming up this week. And of course, I would say the live it's happening live stream because of the coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually pretty cool because, you know, their direct competitor, PlayStation, they have been lacking. They've been lagging behind, in my humble but honest opinion. But we'll dive into that, man. So first things first is Bill Gates is leaving Microsoft. I'm going to read an excerpt from the article, which actually caught my attention. I think a lot of it may have been, Bill Gates doesn't necessarily have to do anything, right? He doesn't need any more money. Just from my opinion, and Microsoft is already a self-sustaining company, right? It doesn't really need to be built up anymore. They're just they're already a monolith, and they've taken up enough space, and they're going to pretty much be here as long as technology is here. From my you know, that's how I got to say. But it says here, says, Gates said, with respect to Microsoft, stepping down from the board in no way means stepping away from the company. Microsoft will always be an important part of my life's work, and I will continue to engage with Satya and the technical leadership to help.
It's weird how they say that.
I thought it was always spelled differently.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was like, I didn't know what it was. That's slashing the dump. Okay, I never knew how you spelled this. I'm like, okay. But he goes in this about how with a lot of things going on in the world, he wants to focus more on philanthropic work, health and development, education, and tackling climate change. And so some of my conspiracy theorists out there will say that that's code words for other things, but we're just going to stay on a positive note. And I think that Bill Gates' involvement with Microsoft over the course of years, I mean, it's unprecedented how much he has actually affected the technology industry. And at this time, I don't really see it problematic with him stepping down. I don't think it's something where now when Steve Jobs is alive, of course, they had like that unwritten rivalry that may have gone on between the two, right? Bill Gates versus Steve Jobs. But I think that with Microsoft and where they're the current state of Microsoft and just Bill Gates as a leader and what he's established, I don't think it's going to impact the company the same way that it was with Steve Jobs, untimely death from Apple. So, I mean, my humble but honest opinion again with this is I think that it ain't going to do too much. It's not going to affect too many things. Everything has already kind of been, you know, they do an excellent job compartmentalizing when they need to, and then I guess moving things around within the company and their different sub companies to keep things afloat. That, you know, him stepping away to focus on more like world issues is like, you know, it just seems like the natural course. You know, what you think, Mike?
Yeah, you just remind me. Yeah, the world issues, because he does basically do that stuff with helping to fight. Like curing cancer, like curing diseases, like what is it? Was it polio or something that he basically eradicated? One of these major diseases, yeah, that he technically helped to eradicate with all his money. But yeah, it's really like convenient that he steps down around the time of the coronavirus. There's probably more than likely something to do with that. Some type of mission that he's on to help try to find a cure for that. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, you're basically correct. Like he's the number two richest man. Like the only other person that's above him is, well, maybe like number two or number three, but, Jeff Bezos is the only other guy's like, that's really like $100 billionaire. Just making a lot of dough like that. He's basically number two or number three.
Not after that divorce, right. Though.
Oh yeah. That might make a major drop for him. Yeah, that's a major drop for him. But like, I mean, it's nothing that else he can really do at Microsoft. He basically hasn't been around at Microsoft for almost like 15, 20 years anyway. Like, he gave what they said in 2000. I didn't think it was 2000. I thought it was like a little bit later than 2000, like 2005 or something like that. But he technically had stepped down as CEO in 2000 and gave it to Steve Ballmer, who was doing whatever with it for a couple of years. And they eventually got it over to Satya Nadella in 2014. But like, he's already like two people removed from being one of the main runners of Microsoft in the first place. I mean, he'd been on the board because, you know, who wouldn't put the top running CEO of the company on the board and keep him there? But like, being on the board really gives you power to have a say, but you really don't get the chance to see the day to day at all. And he ain't been really caring about the day to day for a while. so like, for him to be leaving really is I don't see that affecting the like the stock market for Microsoft at all. Because, you know, that he doesn't really get involved with that. What I am interested in is what is he potentially going to do next? Because he is like one of the most like influential people for the past 40 years for real. Cause like I said, I thought it started in the 80s, but yeah, Microsoft started in 75. So from 1980 to like 2020, he basically been the top tech guy. Like every time you thought of a computer nerd, you thought of somebody that looked like a Bill Gates.
A Bill Gates, yeah.
Yeah, like that's been that guy for real. So like it's interesting that he's just completely stepping out of it. It's convenient that he's stepping out of it at this time. It's probably perfect timing because Microsoft is worth $1.2 trillion. So they basically the highest earning company out there with the highest market cap. I just want to see what he potentially does next. I'm not really worried about Microsoft's future at all. I'm more concerned about what plots and plans he got coming next. Because they got a documentary of him on Netflix. It's a 3-episode thing just talking about all these different things that he's been into and enduring. And it came out like, I want to say like earlier this year or late last year. So it's relatively still new. And I mean, all he does is think of like world changing stuff, and he got the money for it. I mean, he got the money and he got the reputation. I mean, anybody is willing to work with him for any reason. And being separated from Microsoft sort of gives him the power to start working with even more companies. I mean, like if he was associated with Microsoft, he couldn't work with a Google or Apple. But now that he's technically just an independent person, he can work with all of them.
He do, yeah. Now that he's Bill Gates, he can, you know, he can become, you know, Bill Gates LLC, right?
I mean, like you said, the Bill and Melinda Foundation. I mean, he basically just running a bank. He basically running a cash flow of money and putting it in the right people's hands. That's a big move. Yeah, I mean, because he signed over like some shit where he's basically all the millions of dollars, billions of dollars that he's going to get when he dies. His family, I think he was like the first one to put that out. Like his family only getting like $10 million each. I mean, everybody thought he was going, you know, give all his billions down to the family. Like, nah, they be all right. $10 million is all right. You don't need no more than that.
From billionaire, 100 billionaire talking about they take them 10 M's.
Yeah, and I dare one of them complain about it. You still coming out on the top. You still coming out tippy top, no matter what. Yeah, I mean, and
hard to blow $10 million, man. And yo, basketball players do it. It's like, yo, like, how do you $10 million?
I mean, most of it comes from not having, like in their case, it would be they got Bill Gates as a father. And a lot of those things come from not having somebody that's business minded as your, you know, supersede. Yeah, you know I mean, somebody to mentor you, put you in the right direction on how to spend your money, and then they start spending on cars, jewelry, and bitches. I mean, women. You know, that's just what it is. But it's one of those things for real. Like, it's just going to be interesting to see where he goes with it going forward. More than anything else. Like I said, that documentary is probably the most interesting thing I've seen about him in a while, because it's good to see what other businesses he's basically gets into. Mm-hmm. Like when you think
I was saying it makes you think of who was Bill Gates away from Microsoft, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, you basically see that he's either a humanitarian or which is more than likely another colonizer type thing. I mean, like, it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, where, you know, some of his initiatives do have like negative perspectives. You know, we all believe with the intent that it's, you know, he's out there trying to cure people and cure diseases in Africa and all that stuff. But at the same time, you never know the whole theory of maybe he's trying to get people sick to find these cures and experiment on people and all this stuff. And, you know, all this stuff is out there, but I tend to believe the latter, because nothing in his history tells me that he's a malicious person. Now, if it was Steve Jobs doing this, I'd be like, yeah, he probably experiment on people. Yeah. But not Bill Gates.
Steve Jobs is a different type of animal, man. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, it comes down to seeing what the man becomes, you know, after. You know, your life's, if you look at it as your life's work, your main purpose in life has been fulfilled. Like, what do you do? You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing, like, you know, what comes of, the work he does, man. But let's jump into this next one, man. It says that Microsoft, Windows 10 critical security update. Microsoft urges users to take action. So this is surrounding this recent update they're releasing with CVE. It's called CVE 2020-0796. Basically, there was a critical vulnerability named as SMB Ghost or Eternal Darkness by various security vendors that is both vulnerable and affects the server message block. So basically, it messes with the like communication and networking protocols and like stuff like that. Basically, it's real computer nerdy stuff, but it's like if this is a vulnerability that's like critical. They had to do a quick release on this, and it's pretty much urging people who have Windows 10, be it has been found, to take action now because of what's going on. I feel like it's connected to once. funny enough, it's like now that the coronavirus is like a thing, like now security viruses are like becoming a thing now. So it's like everything is it's a virus everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier, like reading the article, like geez, we still got real viruses to deal with. Another tag on computer viruses and all this shit crazy. This probably won't affect most people, but it's an important update to get because most people that got computers aren't really using this functionality. It's file sharing. SMB is that old, I forgot, I don't even remember what the acronym is, but I always know when I see it, it's basically talking about file sharing. But they basically talking about, those networks that are in offices that have like servers that are sharing files between people so that they can share this file here, that file there. But most people in homes, like if you're a consumer that just has a computer, if you're doing file sharing, you're doing file sharing up to the cloud. Yeah, I mean, and then you sharing it up to some Google service, some OneDrive somewhere, some Dropbox, and then it's sharing it from there. But in most cases, most people don't have like some type of NAS, some type of network attached storage in their office anywhere or in their home anywhere where allowing them to just access a file from somewhere else. It's the rare cases, but the fact that the vulnerability is there, it means that like it's accessible and somebody can potentially get to it, even though it's not one of those things that most people would even do on a regular basis. So they are still going to lock it down. But yeah, man, like it's one of those catch 22s. Like, yo, they should be forcing updates on people. One of the things it's kind of like, the developer community doesn't like it. They always will complain about it. They need to set like an option where it's on and you can turn it off by default. Where you can automatic, where everything is automatically updated and you can turn off the updates if you know how. But like by default, these updates need to be turned on so that people don't have to worry about it, because most people shouldn't have to worry about it. You shouldn't have to know how to update or go through the updating process. Even if they try to make it simple and user-friendly with pop-ups and whatnot to be like, hey, you got to update, you should update. They should just go ahead and make it mandatory where you just do the updates. And if you don't subscribe to updates, then you just will do it manually yourself. But like they complain about it because of the fact that if you do an update and it's a major update, then it starts changing things on your computer, on your phone that you never expected. And then you got to deal with that change. But in that case, don't be making massive changes and shit. Minor updates. I mean, don't be trying to make like a 500 meg big ass, download on my install that take like 3 hours to update. Just give me little micro updates every time, every couple, and then it grow into it. I can grow into the updates. The user can grow into the updates, and you still get everything that you need. But I mean, that's one of the things. That's kind of a problem. We weren't talking about it earlier. Like Chrome doesn't do that. Like Chrome. They give you one chance to remind you, like, yo, you got some updates. You shut down your Chrome, it's just going to update. It's just going to go ahead and update. It's going to do it anyway. It's not going to care what you think. You got to tell it not to, because it's going to do it.
It's going to do it by default.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things. It needs to do that. And that's for a majority of the people that are going to be using computers right now. Particularly, maybe some functionality updates, because that's the main thing. if it's a feature update, then, you know, maybe hold it off. But if it's a security update, that is security. It needs to be locked down. You need to just go ahead and push that to everybody, make them get it. And that's what that is. You can't just like say, all right, we're going to put it in the next rollout a couple months down the line and hope that they get it. Give it to them now. Force it on them. Force their own security, because they don't. People don't know what's good for them. So you got to sometimes force it into them. Like, babies don't be knowing.
They don't. That's what it is. Because the thing is with the updates, and I've fallen prey to this, but it's the timing. Like, you know, that we use our technologies on a day-to-day basis. You use your phone on, you know, a minute-by-minute basis, and then, you know, an update comes in. Now, I have an iPhone, right? So it doesn't really, like, you have an option, but it's like, again, at a certain point, if it falls below a certain, like, battery power, it is cut off and then update on its own, right? So it's, you know what I mean? It's pretty much, if you let your phone, keep using your phone, you'll update your shit. That's what it is. Yeah.
Even Apple let you know, like, yeah, we got an update for you. You can do it now or you can do it later. But they don't really give you the option to be like, not at all.
Right.
It was like, we can do it now or do it when later tonight. And you just be like, do it later tonight, man. Do it later tonight.
That's what it's the time. Like I said, it's the timing, and because for instance, why they say always like try to update it at night, because sometimes the updates be taking like more than an hour. Mm-hmm. So and you would think in the scope of how long you're going to be using the technology, of course, not a big deal, but it just seems like an inconvenience that I'm not going to be able to use something that I'd use on a minute-to-minute basis. I'm not going to be able to use it for the next 3, maybe even 4 hours. So I think that's why, to a degree, I can kind of see why they give the soft option of holding it off. But I agree that when it comes to security stuff, man, because you never know. Once you have security breaches, we live in a time where things are a lot more, it's polarizing in the sense that people can be a lot more malicious, and then people just do things for shits and giggles. So but we have a lot of security vulnerabilities happening because a lot of things are just constantly being developed. You know, everybody, you got your people over there in Russia who's selling malware kits. You know, it's like now is the time where we're talking about cybersecurity and stuff to really like up it away as though it's like mandatory, you know, because you never know what can go on. And then too, I understand from a developer standpoint, right, why that can be problematic, because you may be working on some type of enterprise application, right? Something that, you know, it's not really going to change as much for a company. But when you have an updates going on, it changes, it messes with the code. You know, now that this has been updated, you know, this method, this class is deprecated now. So all this code that you develop or that's been holding this some techie talk. But all this code for the past, I mean, maybe 5 years has been there. And you got to, it has to all be retrofitted and reformatted now. So I get, like, you know, from a developer standpoint, why that's good. But for the end user, for the consumer, it should never be, security should never be an option if you want to update or not.
Right. And they know the difference between the two. You can tell when it's an actual administrator versus when it's just a normal, traditional, everyday user. And they should be able to accommodate for that. This is not a developer. So give them the updates.
All right. I mean, it's kind of, I guess, being a little bit more, they have to be a little bit more involved with the user experience and know who's who and what's what, you know. But that stuff like that. And again, I guess too, it does show they probably being a little bit more involved, be it that they are looking at, you know, solving the security vulnerability with something that most people won't, like that the average person is not using. But again, just for the sake of argument, like, it should be just mandatory, you know. Like, probably shouldn't have even hit the news. Like, we found it. Boom. We just need to update. It's updating. Don't worry about it. You know, everything will be fine.
This is happening for everybody that has Windows 10. So if you got anything before Windows 10, then, like, if it's all for Windows people. So if you got Windows 10, you are affected by it. If you got Windows 7, you not get an update. So if you're using it, it's going to affect you, but you ain't been, you're not getting fixed. Sorry. You should be on Windows 10.
That's how they do it. But let's jump into this last one, man. I mean, more so, this is more so my alley. personally.
I'm more interested. Yeah.
Says Microsoft to detail Xbox Series X and xCloud and new live stream next week. So, like you pointed out before, well, I'll just read the first line. It says, this year's annual game developers conference, the GDC, might have been postponed amid the novel coronavirus outbreak. But that's not stopping Microsoft from streaming what it had planned for the show. So I think it's just, for one, I want to give a round of applause to Microsoft for just really making sure they stay in touch with the gaming community and know that, like, they're going to deliver us that heat, you know, regardless of what's going on in the streets. Right. You know what I mean? They're going to give it to us, they, you know, have it live and direct. But then two, it just goes to show Microsoft is just really, I think they're trying to make a push to be number one within the gaming industry, this far as console platforms go within this decade. Honestly, you know, we talked about it before with the tech cold war and all the things that trickle down from, you know, technology, like from the different subsets of that, whether it be like health and technology, like the gaming industry or transportation. You know, there's a lot of things are going to be affected by what they call the tech cold war for the next decade. But I see what's going on here with them unveiling a lot of things going on with the Series X. It's just really them taking that first step forward. You know, they're kind of, you know, poking their neck out saying, this is what we're doing. Because I haven't really heard anything. I haven't heard too much noise from Nintendo. Ever anything from PlayStation. Well, PlayStation, we have heard something from PlayStation. It is that we'll get back to you soon. That's what we keep hearing from PlayStation. And I know with Google jumping in there with Stadia, it's kind of been... It's been rocky. It's been a little bit back and forth. You know, they classify certain things. It's like, okay, this is the beta version, you know, but they still trying to figure some things out. So all in all, I see with them, you know, amid the coronavirus pandemic, which is probably more on, you know, social media, they're still looking at talking about the more important things as far as the hardware design and why that's going to be top of the line, as well as for the xCloud, a lot of the amenities that you'll have by using xCloud. So I'm looking forward to this, man. What you got to say about that, Mike?
I mean, yeah, they definitely the most well laid out console makers right now. Like their plan and map is clear and defined. Like, they're gonna have this new console, the Xbox Series X. That's a weird name, but you know exactly what they're about to come out with. Yeah. You know that they got a cloud project in the works with xCloud to compete against Stadia and whatever PlayStation Now thing that they got going on. You don't really know much about Nintendo. I don't know if Nintendo really going to come out with anything just yet, because they sort of got out of this whole competition early and just said, we're going to do our own thing from the jump. Like, ever since the Wii, they just been like, yo.
That's true.
We'll do it when we do it. Right. We're not worried about y'all. Like,
we ain't competing, we're not
competing with y'all. Y'all got your own little thing. We doing us, and they keep money in their pockets. And Sony not saying a thing. If they got a lot under there, if they got some stuff under their sleeve, they gonna have a lot to have to say, because Microsoft has been talking. Yeah, I mean, Microsoft been talking for the past 3-4 months, and they've been saying everything they got, everything they coming out with, all the products, even if it's just reiteration of the same thing, it's coming from Microsoft's mouth, whereas Sony just hasn't been saying a thing. Like, they just keep saying, we not going to do it yet. Oh, we not going to do it yet. Oh, that thing we was going to do, we not doing that now. Yeah, I mean, and like, that's kind of irking me, but I'm a Sony head because I've been rocking with them since the beginning. Yeah, I mean, so I want to see what they come out with. But for Microsoft, I'm going to be interested in listening to all of this, because, I mean, it's listening to the competition. So you kind of getting an idea of what Sony is going to do from what Microsoft is doing. You can see some of the things that are proprietary that are going to be like, this is going to probably be a Microsoft only thing. But there's a lot of things that you can be like, oh yeah, well, if Microsoft is doing this, then Sony gotta do this to be able to keep up. I mean, if they want to be able to be the one to take over, they gotta kind of do the same thing. So you can get a feel of the industry until Sony open their mouth and actually say something. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm just sitting here waiting, like, yo, It's like the hardest rap battle ever going on, and like you just waiting for your man to hop on the mic to say his piece. But this Xbox just keeps spitting. Xbox just keeps spitting the buzz.
Bar after bar.
You know what I mean? Hitting them with them, and Sony just sitting there like, just taking it. And I'm waiting to see what they got to say for real, because I mean it could be the beginning of the end for them. I mean, if they say the wrong thing. Because Microsoft just not playing right now. They got a lot of money to spend, and they spending it on this potential bet because it's a lot of billions of dollars.
Yeah, it's a lot. You can compare it to rap battles, man, because yeah, it's like that, man. You know, you know, Xbox, you know, they went first and they going in. So it's like,
it's
the third. So it's like, yo, if that first bar is not some hard rebuttal, or something that really shot the crowd like that. Like, it don't matter what's said after that, bro. Like, you lost. That's how it be. Like, you know, it don't, like, you can really be spitting something hard too, but like, that first two bars, you like, you ain't rebuttal, you ain't come back hard from what they're saying. Like, yo, it don't even matter what you were saying after
that. Because the energy.
right.
They don't come with that energy, yo. It's you're going to have your energy pulled away, and people going to just start looking over at Xbox. And like, yeah, y'all talking, though. Y'all spitting, y'all got that.
It's looking like a 3-0.
right now it's still Xbox with a long ass verse. Yeah, I mean, right. they didn't give them like how many bars they gotta be limited to. Yeah, I mean, so Xbox still just spitting verses. They just spit. Yeah, I mean, and then Sony gonna come in on that date like, hold up, all right, let me speak. Yeah, I mean, they gotta add something when they talk, because right now these boys are spitting. They talking. Yeah. They got them. And I don't know. A lot of the technologies, from what they keep reporting, a lot of the technologies are similar. So, I mean, like AMD technology, using Radeon, using the RDNA and all that stuff, ray tracing, all that, like 60 frames a second, 8K. I mean, a lot of that stuff is very similar. So, you know, all that stuff, using the SSD for the loading, like a lot of that stuff is similar. So, you know, all of that. But What are they gonna look like? What are the games gonna look like? And more importantly, like the cloud services, like the PlayStation community, Xbox community. What are the stores gonna be like? Are we gonna get like more like larger lobby sizes and shit? Like, I think we were talking about Call of Duty. They got the new free for all Call of Duty. It's 150 people in there. Like, it's 150 person map. Yeah, I mean,
that's
so
crazy.
Like, you know what I mean, you gotta be able to talk that talk. You gotta be able to at least thrill them. Like, you. I mean, even if all of it isn't relying, like, even at that 150 people, that's relying more on EA and Call of Duty than it is Xbox or PlayStation. But Xbox will run with it. And they'll be like, yeah, you can play this Call of Duty game on Xbox. I mean, and if Sony don't say nothing, I mean, for the newcomers, for the young generation, they'll be like, oh, I need to get the Xbox. I mean, for the people that ain't going into high school and going with their friends, and going into college and, you know, going into dorms and staying with their friends and stuff, they going to start going over to Xbox.
Yeah, that's where the heat at, man. That's what it is. It's all about running. Like, I guess from a business standpoint, look at it like, man, they're just running heavy on like putting content out there and just engaging with folks. And it's the person who's seen the most is going to win. So it is like certain like, in, I guess, like looking at it from like, I guess, marketing, because I do that on the side. Like, one of the most important things when you like from like a business standpoint, man, is getting what they call making sure you stay out of obscurity. I mean, like, people know you. You feel like they know your face, they see you all the time. And when they do that, it's not so much even about if you're right or wrong. You see what I'm saying? It's just that you're putting yourself out there for people to have a perspective. Versus the person that's not doing anything at all, they may actually be better. They may actually have a better service to deliver, but because they're not being vocal, you know, it's almost like it makes it seem like you're scared to compete.
Right.
And it's like, how can people really trust you? That's how it is. You just be even having this conversation. It's like, you know, the PlayStation can deliver, but they really not punching. So it's like, are you afraid, or is it you don't have nothing, or
Right.
What is
right. You know, exactly. What is it? And then, I mean, when you start putting those things in the air, it's like when you start hedging your bets, you talking about playing with people money for real. Like not everybody is millionaires. We got a small amount of investment and we got to put it into a game console that's going to support us for years, which one is it going to be type thing. Like, you gotta keep your fans happy at the end of the day. Like, I mean, that's how you keep the money in your pocket. And that's how you keep that community going. And I mean, we'll see. I'm happy to see what Microsoft do. I'm happy to see that they taking it real serious, that they not playing any games, because they not. I mean, it's a game console, but they ain't playing no games on.
Right.
Like they serious about that. Yeah, it's war right now, and they definitely got the machine guns ready, heavy, full of ammo, and Sony better have some nuclear bomb in the weights. Right. Yeah,
better have some coronavirus to unleash or something like that.
They just supposed to do violent warfare.
Right. You know, they have something up their sleeve, man, because it's looking like this attrition that Microsoft got going on, but boom, boom, throwing stuff out, this. It's like, all right, yo. When that happens, people just, you know, and just they concede defeat. It's like, all right, yo, you jump out the gate too hard, you know, don't worry, yo, it's all good. White flag.
Right, exactly. And that's why I'm hoping B Rabbit don't be like, yo, I'm done now.
Like 8 Mile, right?
Sony B Rabbit right now. Just waiting to see what he got.
But yeah, man. That's it, man. We can probably just end it on that note, man. I hope y'all enjoyed the commentary, man. We talk about y'all can just like, comment, subscribe, Google us, find us on all of your major podcasts and platforms, man. Everything from your iTunes, your Google Music, just Google Microsoft Recap and your favorite podcast and platform, man. You'll find us there, man. But we want y'all just to stay in tune with us. We got more stuff coming your way, more social media content for y'all just to engage on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, we're going to keep on feeding y'all this heat from the streets with these shows, man. So that's pretty much it, man. Mike, you got anything else?
Nah, man, just go ahead and follow, like, subscribe, and comment. Do all the do's.
Boom. This is Mike Bennett and Mike Baker with the Microsoft Recap signing out. See you all next week. Peace.
Peace.